We're going to talk this morning about creating secret space. Creating secret space and learning about the fact that you and I were made for communion with Jesus Christ. That is a needful part of our existence. Now we're going to look at Ecclesiastes chapter 4. For sake of time, we're going to kind of just look at a couple of verses that give us an understanding of what Solomon, under the inspiration of the Spirit, is talking about here in Ecclesiastes chapter 4. So look with me at verse number 6, if you would. The Bible says, "Better is a handful with quietness than both the hands full with travail and vexation of spirit. Less is more." Verse 9. "Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor." What is that talking about? Relationships are more valuable than what you can gain when you shun relationships for pursuit of other things. Verse 13. "Better is a poor and a wise child than an old and foolish king who will no more be admonished." Many people feel like Solomon was talking about himself there. Many people feel like Solomon was taking a stroll through his kingdom, and he maybe strolled by a very simple family that didn't have a lot. It was a very meager home. The spread on the dining room table wasn't much to speak of. The clothes they were wearing were not name brand. The car they were driving was not anything to talk about. Their cell phone wasn't the latest and greatest. They didn't spend a month on a cruise this summer. It wasn't all that. But Solomon looked into that room, into that home, and he said, "You know, I think from my vantage point of life now, better is one handful and quietness therewith than two hands full of everything you can earn in this world and all the travail and vexation that comes with it." Then he kept walking and he saw an old man, if you've ever studied that passage in Ecclesiastes 4. And this old man had accomplished a lot, very successful, very wealthy. He would be esteemed in our culture as someone that really climbed the ladder. But Solomon looked at him and said, "But he's lonely. He's all by himself. He's miserable. Who does he have to share these accomplishments and this wealth with? No one." And then he goes on, "Two are better than one, because they have a reward for their labor." Relationships are better. It's not about how high we climb, it's who we take with us. And Solomon watches this old man. Then he continues through his kingdom and he's observing. And maybe he gets back to his palace. And he sits down and he thinks about what he saw that day. And he thinks, you know, better is the young and the wise than an old foolish king who can no longer be admonished. Many believe Solomon at that moment was talking about himself. "Oh, I wish I could have it over again. I wish I could be youthful me again with the gift of wisdom from God and would have listened and obeyed, because now I'm old and I'm a fool and I cannot be admonished, and look at where it's gotten me. It's nothing but vanity and vexation of spirit." We're going to talk this morning about creating this secret space. You ever find in the routines of family life that it is almost impossible to find a quiet place? Have you ever received a phone call while at home and tried to find a corner of the house to talk on that phone, and no matter where you went, someone was coming to you, and it was just impossible to find a quiet place? Have you ever maybe tried to take a call in a public place and just trying to find a private, quiet corner in order to do it? Sometimes it is nearly impossible in our homes or in our culture to find a quiet, peaceful place. And it's impossible at times to talk over the noise and the culture and the loudness of the day and age in which we live. And we do live in a time in our culture where we're always, our attention is always being sought for maybe a media device or something around us, some kind of noise, if you will. Even when we're asleep, there's things that would interrupt that if we're not careful. And because of all of this noise and connectivity and expectation, we're losing our connectivity with people because we're so focused on all of the busyness and all the connectivity that we have to have in our life and our culture. We're connected, we're busy, we're doing things, but oftentimes it's not with the most important things or relationships that God has given to us. And what's sad is Usually when what's important starts to get cut out, the first thing that gets cut out is God. We get so consumed with life and work and pursuits and hobbies and this and that and the other that we can go 7 days and not even crack open the Word of God and think nothing of it. We don't have time on our own to just kneel down in the presence of God and talk. And if we're not careful, God just gets kicked to the curb. Because we've got better things to do. We've got more important things to do. We're busy. We're important. And if we're not careful, what gets lost is the very connection that we have for everything else to work. And life begins to unravel, and our hearts are no longer aligned with Him. The Bible says in Psalms 91:1, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." God wants you and I to spend time with Him in a secret place. He wants us to have that private time again. And we see in our passage this morning, Ecclesiastes 4, that Solomon is on a pattern. He said, better is this, and better is that, and better is this over here. And Solomon was on a mission to show us a better way. Here is a better way of living. And really the lesson this morning boils down to this. If our focus is on anything less than Jesus Christ, then we are on the same road as Solomon. And it may look good, and it may be lucrative, and it may be successful, and it may have pleasure for a season. But in the end, it's going to be vanity. And Solomon is kind of at the end of his journey, waving the red flag, saying, hey, look at the path you're on. Look at the direction you're going. Consider the end of a thing. Because if you're not careful, you're going to get to where I am, Solomon is saying. And it's going to be nothing but vanity. Make sure your eyes and your heart are on the Lord Jesus Christ, that He is your purpose and that He is your passion. So how do we create this secret space? And there's some decisions we need to make and some things we need to consider. Number one, as we look into the study, consider with me that balance is better. Balance is better. Ecclesiastes 4:6, better is a handful with quietness than both hands full with travail and vexation of spirit. What is Solomon contrasting? The two extremes. What are the two extremes? The one extreme is overworking, a workaholic, always, 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 always going. He's got both hands full. Everything this society and culture declares it offers, we're going at it with both hands. Solomon says, I see that. And then he contrasts it with laziness, underworking. There's nothing being accomplished. And Solomon admonishes against that as well. And the Bible is clear, if a man will not work, neither shall he eat. So we don't want to be on the one end of the spectrum where we're lazy and we're not getting anything done. We don't want to be on the other end of the spectrum where we're overworking, always connected, always disconnected from family and from God, always pursuing the pot at the end of the rainbow that's never there. Or it never has in it what we thought it would when we got there. Only to be told that if we go a little further, there's a bigger one. And it will have what we really want. And so then we keep going after that as well. Balance is better. Solomon says, one hand full, one hand empty. This is a better way of living than both hands full. Look at all that I've got. With what? Travail and vexation of spirit. Solomon says, yeah, you got a lot, but look what comes with it. Look at the baggage. Look at the carnage of everything that has been left in the path of the pursuit of that. One hand full and one hand empty is better. Now, let me illustrate this for you this morning. I don't know how many of you have ever seen this, and we've got two men on the front row. So, guys, I don't think you're going to get hurt, but I'm giving you a little bit of a disclaimer, all right? No, I got the table. I want you guys to hear it. Now, have you guys ever been to a... No, you guys can be seated. I'm sorry. I just was mentioning if something comes off the thing, I don't want you to sue me, all right? Have you ever been to a show or a circus or something? You've watched the act where they try to keep all the plates spinning. Now, I am not a professional plate spinner, so I'm not exactly sure how this is going to go, but I want to illustrate this for you a little bit if I can, all right? So I've got some plates here this morning, and if you take a plate and you begin to spin it, and then you try to keep a bunch of plates spinning, and you try to keep as many going as you possibly can. The problem is they don't all keep going, and if you try to keep them all going, it's going to really wear you out, and some of them are going to end up falling off your table, and they're going to break, and you're going to have problems with it for sure. And it's going to kind of turn into a disaster, kind of like this illustration is right now. Now, you know what that looks like? A lot of families in our culture and society. We run through each day doing the best that we can to keep up with the chaos that we have created. And we sleep to wake up to do it again. Now, these are plates I bought at the dollar store. So I'm not in trouble. I get to go home, all right? Now, I did ask my wife for what would be the most precious plate she has. And she said, "Sweetheart, this is a family heirloom that has been passed down from generation to generation and has been given to her. And this would be one of the more precious plates in our home." Now, I'm not even going to attempt to spin and play with this plate. But I want to ask you a very serious question. In your life, can you tell the difference between the dollar store plates and the precious plates? Is this plate no longer spinning because we're so worried about all of these plates that this one has been neglected? Every person in this room only has a few of these. Your marriage, your children, your walk with God, your ministry. You only have a few precious plates in life. You say, "Well, my job is really important." Can I say this in love? Your job is this. There are other jobs. "Well, this pursuit that I'm in, it's really important." It's this. There are other hobbies. Trust me, friend, there will be moments that come into your life that bring incredible clarity and alignment to you overnight. You get a call that your spouse has cancer. It's incredible how it aligns your focus and priorities. You get a call that your child has but a number of months to live. It will rock your world and align your priorities and give you clarity like you cannot imagine. And what is it teaching us? It's teaching us that one hand full and one hand empty is better. Balance is better. I can perfect this act so well that I can keep all of these plates turning indefinitely. But I ask you the question, to what end? Okay, so I have become very good at doing a lot of stuff. How am I doing and what truly matters? How is my walk with God? The time every day personally where I go to His Word and I take a copy of the Bible and I read it for me. The time where I go into a secret place and I get alone with God and I pray. And I pray for my spouse and I pray for my children and I pray for the people in this room. How is my marriage doing? Susanna and I, how are we doing? And by the way, and you can ask her if you want, and she probably would tell you, Brother Gabe is preaching this message to me as much as I am to anyone in this room. How am I doing in my marriage relationship? Is it the priority that it should be? Or have I confused this plate of responsibility with other ones that come into my life, and I'm just trying to keep it going like all the other ones, when in reality, this deserves so much more of me than this ever will. But I don't give this what it deserves because I'm so busy keeping so many of these going. And some of these I didn't even put on my own table. Some of these somebody handed to me and said, "I think you need to do this." I never even asked God. I never even considered His will. I just took it like, yeah, the more the merrier. Look at how important I am. Look at all these plates that I have. Look at all this stuff that I do. And I'm somebody. Pile some more on there. I can handle it. Does anybody else have any more? And sometimes that's our approach. And we've got so much of this in our life that this misses out. And I challenge all of us this morning to consider from Solomon, balance is better. One hand full, one hand empty. Yes, I could go after culture and society for two hands worth. To what end? Solomon says, travail and vexation of spirit. Basically, Solomon says, you're going to go get both hands full and you're going to end up with two bags full of trouble. Because while you were so busy pursuing this, these started falling apart. Hey, am I worried about this carnage down here? No, it cost me a buck. Now, if I break this, I'm in some serious trouble. Okay? I'm going to need a guest room for a while. I'm going to need to go through my wife's lineage and find out if somebody else has one or whatever. That I'm going to be in big trouble if I break that one. That's not going to work. These, I can break all morning long because they're not as valuable. But if we're not careful, friend, what is truly valuable in life is neglected because we are so busy keeping life going with that that doesn't truly even matter in light of eternity. Balance is better. Now, how do we keep balance? A couple of principles in that regard. Number one, the principle of balance. Balance is the art of crafting a life that spins the right plates without spinning out of control. Brother Gabe, I can't keep all these plates going. Friend, neither can I. So the best way to ensure that my walk with God and my marriage and my children have the right amount of me is to start getting rid of these plates. I don't need this, and I don't need that, and I don't need this one. Whoever was trying to convince you, you do. Can I liberate you this morning? You don't. They're replaceable. They're interchangeable. They're not as important. And I've got to master the principle of balance. I've got to learn the art to spinning the right plates without spinning out of control. It's a decision-making process that is governed by priorities. In many areas, it's shunning the things that I should not do to embrace the few things that I must do. Listen to me this morning. Nobody can walk with God for you. Nobody. You either have a walk with God or you don't. Nobody can strengthen your marriage but you. I sometimes am fatigued when I come out of marriage counseling and I feel like I want restoration for them more than they do. I'm fighting harder for their marriage than they are, and it's not even mine. I believe in marriage. I believe in the sanctity of marriage. I believe in the principle with God and joined together, let no man put asunder. So I'll fight hard for someone else's marriage. But sometimes inside I feel like, why don't you fight hard? It's your marriage. But sometimes we don't have the time or the energy to do that. And there are only literally a few things in life that you must do, but you'll have no time and energy for them if you're so cumbered about with the things that you really don't have to do. The balance principle. Then the principle of quietness. Letter B, the quietness is the commitment to creating the space or the margin in your life where you can be still and listen to God. Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. And so Solomon is saying, hey, balance is better. But can I tell you something this morning, class? Balance is better, but balance is harder. Now, Gabe, you lost me on that one. You're telling me to get rid of stuff in my life and do less, and you're saying that's harder. Absolutely. You want to know why? Because it is anti-cultural. We live in a culture that says, if you're truly successful, if you're truly worth anything, if you're truly valuable, then you better have a lot to show for it. What did Solomon say? You better have two handfuls. That's how we measure success, value, and worth in our society. Do you have two handfuls? Are you getting a bunch done? Are you accomplishing a lot? Are you amassing a lot? Solomon says, you know, as I step back and I look at this, that's actually not even better. It's the guy over here with one handful and one hand empty. The man has learned the art of balance. Class, any one of us can step out of those doors in a moment and so fill our hands with everything this culture and society has to offer that we don't even have time to know what our name is. But can I just get you for a moment to stop and to think, to what end? Where does that take you? What does the end of that look like? If I've accomplished so many of these but neglected these, what does that make me? The principle of quietness. Getting rid of some of this so that I have time and energy for what truly matters. Indeed, balance is better. And sometimes the pressure and the expectations that other people will force on you is going to lead you to a lordship question. Who is the Lord of your life? Is God the Lord of your life? Is His Word an authority of your life? For some of us, we have so many people in God's place. It might be a group of friends, it might be an acquaintance, it might be a boss, it might be whoever, that these expectations are imposed upon us, and now we're so frantically trying to keep it all together for them, we have forgotten about Him. It's a lordship question. Who's the Lord of your life? And if God, the creator of the universe, is truly the Lord of your life, then I ask you one question. What are the priorities that God wants you to have? I'm pretty sure Colossians 1:18 is pretty simple. That He is to have preeminence in all things. So someone who's made the decision that God is going to be the Lord of their life has made the decision that God is going to be number one. He's going to be the center. Everything in life is going to revolve around Him. Someone who God is the Lord of their life and they've made Him preeminent, it's not a question about whether or not I'm going to go to church. It's not a question about whether or not I'm going to read the Bible. It's not a question about whether or not I'm going to pray. It's not a question about whether or not I'm going to live obedience. That's already been decided because He's the Lord of my life. But friend, you see, when He gets out of being the Lord of your life, and other people will take that position, and you get so much of this going on, sometimes you don't even recognize it. This is dead. It's not even in the picture. It's a foregone conclusion. Because all of our energy is keeping this going, we have nothing left to give. We're out of balance. And indeed, balance is better. But I see, secondly, in our story this morning, that relationships are better. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. You see what's, you know what the plate spinning clown doesn't have any time for? Relationships. You want to know why? He's got to keep all the plates spinning. Now, he does a lot better job than I do. But it consumes him. You know what's wrong with the families in our culture and society? We are consumed with the wrong stuff. It's hard for me to believe that Suzanne and I this fall have a ninth grader and a seventh grader. I'm too young for that, right? That's hard for me to believe. And I sat by Mariah in 8:30 service this morning. And I thought, if these 14 years have gone this fast, the next four are going to fly. I'm going to blink and it's going to be over. Why in the world would I sacrifice this for this? I'm telling you, friend, I'm going to come 4 years from today, if the Lord tarries is coming, I'm going to look myself in the mirror and I'm going to hate the life that I chose to live. If I don't stop and say, nuts to this, this is what God gave me. I got one shot to do this and do it right. And I can't get to the end of that journey and blame anybody else but me. Because I knew what was right. And God gave me the courage to do what was right. But I still have to make that choice. And so do you. Relationships are better. When we're so busy in the pursuit of culture and society, there's no relational time. There's no time for what truly matters. Now, I'm not trying to say that every dollar store plate is sinful or bad. I'm not saying that. In fact, where life gets messy is when you have a lot of these good opportunities in your life, but they're not the best opportunities. And we get pursuing some good things, but they're not the best things. We get pursuing some worthy things, but they're not the most important things. And sometimes we have to step back and we have to evaluate, where is my time and my energy going? And again, friend, you have to be able to discern from the Word of God and priorities what is real and what is invaluable, what is precious and what is cheap, if you will. Our career is not a precious plate. It's just not. But if we continue to go in the direction of pursuing that, we're going to miss out on what truly matters. We can replace a career. We can start over in a different direction. We can get a different house. We can get a different car. We can have a different hobby. We can do those kinds of things. But there will be precious plates that God puts in our life that are irreplaceable, that we have to make a priority in our life. We often find when going through the process of eliminating some things that fear drives our frenzy. We know in the pursuit of keeping all of these spinning and the chaos that it is, we already know this isn't good. We are convinced of it this morning. We may not admit it, but we know it deep in our heart it is. But we're afraid to stop. What would my life look like if I got rid of all that? What would my life look like if I just pursued what really mattered? And sometimes it's fear that holds us back. We don't know if we should pursue that. And I just want to challenge you this morning. Ask yourself this question. Are you spinning the plates that God gave you? There are some plates that God has entrusted to you. Is that what you're spinning this morning? You know what I find in family ministry in 2018? A lot of people drive themselves to exhaustion, spinning plates. God never gave them. And the few plates that God entrusted to their care sit idly by while they keep all the chaos one step ahead of the avalanche and keep it going. Are the plates you're turning the plates that God gave you? Relationships are better. Can I say this? Wisdom is better. In verse 13, better is a poor and a wise child than an old foolish king who will no more be admonished. And we're going to talk about wisdom a little later in this series, but God has given you and I the resources to a balanced, quiet life. God has given us the ability to have one hand full, one hand empty. You say, Gabe, what is that ability? Because I don't have it. Friend, in our flesh, we don't. But when you and I walk with God, when we are in His Word, when we have wisdom in us, and wisdom is taking the authority of God and executing it in life. Wisdom is tomorrow making decisions based upon biblical insight and authority. It's putting wisdom into real life, life decisions in action. And wisdom is better. And Solomon is saying, I wish I would have used the wisdom that God gave me in my life in a better way. It's using God's perspective in everyday life. Wisdom is better. Solomon says, I'd rather be a poor child with wisdom than who I am today, full of wealth and power, but truly been a fool, because wisdom is better. And then where does that kind of wisdom come from? Number four, as we close. The secret place. Wisdom comes from the secret place of quiet in God's presence. It's found when we sit before Him, worship Him, and spend time with Him. Can I challenge you this morning, daily, find a secret place. Find a place where daily, weekly, consistently, you're going to be still and quiet before God. Where God can help you discern, God, what plates do I need to put down and what plates do I need to give attention to? What plates am I spinning that you never gave me? What plates did you entrust me with that have been neglected? God, would you speak to my heart? Would you give me clarity and alignment? Help me to respond and to adjust in my life accordingly. The secret place is where God restores our soul. He's caring for our soul that we might care for others. The great shepherd in Psalm 23:2 says, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Solomon said, better is a hand full with quietness than both hands full with travail and vexation of spirit. May you and I, as the Bible says in Psalms 4:4, stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Be still and know that I am God. See, the problem in the Christian life is we get so many things going that we just scoot God out. So, this morning, let's make a commitment. Lord, I'm going to have a daily quiet time with you. I'm going to spend time in your word and spend time in prayer. And I'm going to ask you to give me a resetting of my focus and my energy in my life. And then help me to live a balanced life. You see, we were made for communion with God. When life gets so busy and God gets set aside, now we don't even have the wherewithal to see that the life we're living, from the outside it looks busy, valuable, profitable, productive, successful. But because we don't even have God in it, we don't even know. It's all in vain. I can keep 100 of these turning till I die. What will it matter? On my tombstone, Gabe kept 100 plates turning till he died. He multitasked. He was successful. He got promotions. He worked more overtime than anybody. He did this, he did this, he did this. He won this, he did this. He was the star on this team. He won this trophy. He shot the biggest this. He hit the most home runs. Whatever. He had the most followers on social media. Think about it, friend. To what end? Everything I just mentioned doesn't even matter. There are but a few plates that God has entrusted me with that truly matter. I'm not saying these are all bad, but I'm definitely saying they are not as valuable as this. And you and I better figure out what has God put in our life that's valuable. And this morning, may we learn from an old man with a lot of wisdom, but who made a lot of mistakes. And he's telling you and I this morning, balance is better. Better is one hand full and one empty. Relationships are better. Don't get so busy you don't have time for the people God entrusted you with. Wisdom is better. And where do you get that wisdom? The secret place. Daily walking with the Lord Jesus Christ, spending time in His Word and in prayer so that God can bring to your mind alignment and focus. Lord, I'm sorry. So much of my time has been consumed with this right here, and I've neglected this. And that might be my walk with Him. That might be my spouse. That might be my child. That might be the giftedness that God gave me to serve Him. I don't know what that is in your life, but I just challenge you, think about it. And it may be needful for all of us this week to get some time alone with the Lord and to ask, which of these do we need to do away with? And which of these do we need to get re-engaged with? Create secret space. And out of that, may we learn balance, relationships, wisdom. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your precious word. And Lord, we thank you for a time to gather in this room this morning. Lord, we've been learning about the simple life. It's a great title, very difficult to achieve. And Lord, it's so against the grain of our culture and society. We're so busy, we're running so fast, there are so many demands and expectations, and we're supposed to meet everyone. And if we're not careful, when we do, it was at the expense of cutting you out and what you put into our life that is most important. So help us in this room this morning to have courage, to walk with you, and to instill that wisdom in our life, and to align and focus our time and our energy, what really matters. Lord, help us to strive for balance, not two handfuls. How about one handful and one hand empty? Help us to invest in relationships. May we no longer make excuse for why we don't have time for our families. And may we seek wisdom. May we no longer make an excuse for not having time with you. Lord, help us to examine our hearts and lives and families. Help us to take this very simple, basic principle and apply it to our life. And I pray that you'd richly bless every family in this room and that you'd bring us back safely next Sunday as we continue to learn what decisions do I need to make to live the simple life. And we'll praise and thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen.